ויגש אליו יהודה. יהודה comes close, approaches Yosef ויומר, and he says, "Be Adoni." He is pleading with his master. He calls him, "Yedaberna avdecha davar beozne Adoni." Please allow your servant to speak, to say something in your ears. Ve'al yihar apecha be'avdecha. Don't get angry with me. Ki chamocha kefar'o. Because you're like par'o to me. Adoni sha'al. My master asked, et abadav lemor. When we came here the first time, we came to get food because of the famine. And you asked us, Hayesh lachem av o ach? Do you have a father? Do you have a brother? Vanomer el Adoni, and we said to our master at the time, Yesh lanu av zaken, we do have an older father, beyeled zekunin katan, and a younger brother, ve'ahib met, and his brother had died. Ve'yivater hu levado le'imo ve'aviv ahevo, and he was left, the only one from his mother, and his father loved him. We were honest with you, we answered you. Vatomer el avadecha, and then you said to your servants, Oriduhu Eli, bring him down to me. You have a younger brother? Bring him. Ve'asima ani alav, and I will take care of him. I will put my eye on him. Vanomer el Adoni, and we said to our master at the time, Lo yuchal ha-na'ar la'azov et aviv. The boy can't leave his father. Ve'azab et aviv v'amet. If he would leave his father, he might die. But she says, if he leaves his father, we're worried he might die on the road. But Tomer, he already lost his older brother. That's why we didn't bring him with us. But tome lavadecha, but you said to our, to your servants, that's us, im lo yered achichem akaton itechem, if your youngest brother doesn't come with you, doesn't come back, lo tosifun ot panai, do not come back to me. There's no way we're going to continue in this relationship if you don't bring him down. Vayhi ki alinu, and then when we went up, el avdecha abi, we went to our father, your servant, vanaged lo, and we told him, et divrei Adoni, we told him what you said. Vayomer avinu, and our father, we know, said he's not sending him. And then later on, he said, shuvu, Shivrulanu me'at ochel, go back to get us some more food. The famine. Vanomer, we said to our father, lo nuchal laredet, we can't go down. Unless we take our brother, im yesh achinu akarton nitanu, if our younger brother is there, we'll go down. Ve'yaradnu, ki lo nuchal lirot penei ha'ish, we cannot see this man. Ve'achinu akarton enenu itanu, if our young son is not with us, our young brother is not with us. Vayomer avdecha avi elenu, and my father, your servant said to us, atem yedatem, you know, kishenayim yaldali ishti, that my wife Rachel had two children. Vayetzeha ehad meiti, one of them is gone. Va'omar ach tarof toraf. He was grabbed. He was ripped away. Ve'lo re'iti v'adhena. I haven't seen him till now. V'lkachtem gam et zeh. You're going to take also this one. Me'im panai from before me. Ve'karahu ason. Some rakavid. Tragedy will take place. Ve'horatem et sevati b'ra'a she'olah. You will take an old man and bring him to his ending in a negative way. This is the way I should end my life. Ve'ata kevo'i el avdecha avi. He said, and now you took our brother Binyamin, the brother that you caused to come here. You said you're going to watch over him. You said, don't worry, everything will be fine. Now we brought him down. We negotiated. He says, Ve'ata kevo'i el avdecha avi. If I go back to my father, Ve'hana'ar enenu itanu, and the boy is not with us, Ve'nafsho keshura be'nafsho. He says, their souls are connected. Ve'haya kir'oto ki'en hana'ar v'amet. When he sees that the boy is not with us, he will die. Vehoridu avadecha et sevat avdecha avinu be'agon she'ola. And we will be responsible that we will bring the death of our father and he will go to his ending in agony. The Mefarshim, when reading this speech of Yehuda to Yosef, are troubled by what Yehuda was trying to accomplish when he spoke to Yosef. The Ramban, for example, asks, Lo yadati. Says the Ramban, I don't know, I don't understand. Ta'am, a reason. La'arichut divrei Yehuda. Besipur. Mashiaya kebar benehem. He says, I don't understand why Yehuda needs to go in a lengthy description of the story that already both of them were involved in. Yehuda and Yosef were involved in the story. So basically, he's repeating to him all the things that he already had experienced. So says the Ramban, I don't understand. What did Yehuda come to tell Yosef? Everything he told him, Yosef already knew. So he says, I don't understand the reason. The Ramban continues and says, Asher yir'eli. He says, if you want, I can explain to you what I think is the simple reason. She'enam rak tahanunim leha'ir rahamav. Which means he wanted to say the story in order of events so that he will awaken the compassion of Yosef. Ki hashav Yehuda, because Yehuda thought, ki ha Elohim hu yare, kasher amar lo. He thought this man is God-fearing, like Yosef told him. It's interesting that if a guy is not God-fearing, it's a waste of time. That you can awaken all the compassion you want. Without fear of God, it seems it's a waste of time. But since the man is God-fearing, he says, let me see if I can awaken compassion. And the Ramban explains how the story awakens the compassion of this man. I'd like to share with you a different perspective and a different answer to the Ramban's question. Again, the Ramban is wondering why this speech of Yehuda is necessary. What was it doing? Usually when you go to fight for something, you come with new information, a new argument, something that maybe was missed. That was the question of the Ramban. So the Ramban's answer is, yeah, he just wanted to repeat the story to awaken his compassion. Sometimes if a person tells over a story and puts it all together, it has a lot more meaning or impact than when it happens over a longer period of time. But there are those who have a different explanation as to what Yehuda was looking to accomplish. And I believe that this is very relevant to all of us, especially in today's world. There is a pasuk in the Torah, very interesting pasuk. The pasuk says, let's just run through it. It says, "Lo tisna et achicha bilvavecha." The Torah commands us that we're not allowed to hate someone bilvavecha in our hearts. Hocheyach tochiyach et amitecha, says the Torah, rather rebuke him. Ve'lo tisa alav chelv, and don't sin because of him. What exactly is this commandment? Listen to this Rambam. The Rambam writes in Hilchot De'ot. The Rambam has one section, Hilchot De'ot, which is all the halachot of midot, of character, and proper way of living. He says, Kol asone ehad mi Israel belibo. Someone who hates another person. Over belo ta'aseh. He is guilty of one of the averot in the Torah. If you hate someone with your heart, you're guilty. As we just read, lo tisna et achicha bilvavecha. Listen to this Rambam. Velo hizhira Torah. Ella al sinah shebaleb. The Torah only warned about hatred in the heart. Specifically, lo tisna et achicha bilvavecha. Don't hate him with your heart. Aval hamaket havero. Guy is angry with his friend and he hits him. Hamiharefo, or he talks derogatory to him. He puts him down. Af al pi she'eno rashai, even though he's not going to do that either. But he's not guilty of lo tisna. Very interesting. Don't hate is only in the heart. But if you tell him that you hate him, then you don't have the same avera. The hatred, the Torah says, is a problem, is the one that isn't communicated. But if you keep it in your heart and you hate the guy, you're guilty of a terrible sin. Says the Rambam, "Kesheyehta ish leish." When somebody wrongs you, lo yistemenu veyishtok, the Torah is warning you. Whether it's a husband and wife, whether it's a child, father, whether it's brothers, whether it's friends, whether whoever. When someone wrongs you, lo yistemenu veyishtok, do not keep quiet. Kemo shane'emar bareshaim, says the Rambam, that's what reshaim do. Reshaim, when someone wrongs them, they keep quiet. One might have said, if someone keeps quiet when somebody wrongs them, they're tzaddikim. That's what I would have said. The guy is wrong and he keeps quiet, tzaddik. Says the Rambam, no. When you keep quiet, you're in the category of reshaim. And the Rambam not only calls the guy in the category of a rasha. Rasha, by the way, means a bad person. It means a failure of life. That's what it means. A rasha is best explained as a man who failed in life. He says you're a failure of life. And not only does the Rambam say the word reshaim, he even puts a picture next to the word rasha. He gives you an example of such a person. He quotes a famous story that happened in Tanakh by Avshalom, who was not a very big tzaddik, the son of David HaMelech, who tried to kill his own father, tried to get people against his father to take over the kingdom. So in Shemuel Bet over there, it talks about a story where Amnon, who was a son of David HaMelech, and he ended up violating his half-sister, Tamar. And Tamar was Avshalom's sister, full sister. And when Avshalom heard what Amnon did, he says, Velo diber Avshalom im Amnon. Avshalom would not speak to Amnon. He heard what Amnon did, something not proper with his sister, and he wouldn't speak to him. Lemera ve'atov, he didn't say anything bad to him, he didn't say anything good to him, he just didn't talk to him. Kisane Avshalom et Amnon, because Avshalom had tremendous hatred for Amnon, for what he did. Now, I would have read that pasuk, if I was reading the Tanakh, and I read that pasuk, I'd say, wow, look at the self, the Torah is the pasuk is highlighting the strength of Avshalom. That's what I would have said. When I read that pasuk, it says, then he didn't talk to him. Not good, not bad, because he had hatred for him. He didn't want to talk to him. That's how I would have understood the pasuk. I don't think I'm alone. Because I would have thought, if he would have acted like a bad person, he would have came with all the weapons and come all out against him. But the Rambam says, no, this is an example of a rasha and an act of evil. Kemo sheneemar bareshaim, velo diber Avshalom et Amnon. He didn't speak to him. Not good and not bad. That's a rasha'at. The pasuk is highlighting something terrible he did. Not something good that he did. It's amazing how you could look at something in one perspective and it's totally opposite. And by the way, I'm sure Avshalom felt very good about himself for not reacting. He could have done much worse. I'm sure Avshalom, when he was going through this, his feelings were, I'm a man in control. I'm a gibor, powerful man. Says the Rambam, this is an act of Rish'ut. And he says, the Pasuk explains, Ki Sane Avshalom et Amnon. When you're quiet, when your lack of talking to someone comes from hatred, I want to explain something before we move on. The word hatred is a very strong word. Used in English, it sounds like hatred of Nazis and the hatred of Hitler in Mashemo and the Hitler of and the hatred of very, very bitter, bitter enemies. I just want you to know that this is not true. That's, of course, that's also hatred. But hatred doesn't begin in that level. When you love someone less than you should, that's already called hatred. Very important to know that. In the Hebrew language, in the Torah, in Halakha, if you don't love someone on the level that you should, you're already called sin'at. Don't imagine in your mind that when we speak about hatred of somebody, we're talking about who knows what kind of hatred. For an example, very the best example I can give you, there's no better example. Thank you. Hey, listen to this pasuk, just in case you want to make sure, and you should always want to make sure you have a good source for things. After the marriage of Yaakov to Rachel and Leah, as you all know, Rachel was the preferred choice of Yaakov. He ended up getting Leah instead by way of deception, and he ended up marrying both of them. So the pasuk says, Vayehav gam et Rachel mileah. Very nice. Nothing so tragic or something so bad. It says that not only did Yaakov marry Rachel, but he loved Rachel more than Leah, which is quite normal. Even sometimes with children, a person might love a child a little more than somebody else. It's not the end of the world. People have a favorite child. I'm not saying you should do that, but sometimes you have a child that you love more. And it's very normal for Yaakov to love Rachel more than Leah. After all, he worked 7 years for Rachel. When you work for something, you sacrifice for someone, you love them more. And it's his preferred choice. So it's nothing. So it's very normal and natural. If someone would ask you, tell me, who do you love more, Rachel or Leah? Of course you love Rachel more. She's the one you wanted to marry, A. B, you worked 7 years for her, so it's normal. So there's not even a hidush here. But it says he loved Rachel more than Leah. Fine. Beautiful, gorgeous. Nothing wrong. Vayar Adonai. Next pasuk. Listen to this pasuk. This pasuk is very powerful. Listen to this pasuk. Vayar Hashem. Hashem saw kisenu'a Leah. Hashem saw that Leah was hated. Leah was hated. What? When did we say Leah was hated? All we said is that he loved Rachel more than Leah. That means he loved Leah. If you say, I love someone more than someone else, it means you love them both. You just compare it. Why would Hashem see that she was hated? And this is repeated again when she had her first child. Her second child. But Tahar od vatelet ben, she had her second child. But Tomer, and she said, Ki Shama Adonai, Shama Hashem heard. Kisenu'a anoki. He heard that I was someone that was hated by my husband. And therefore he gave me another child. And she called him Shim'on. So the name Shim'on is referring to Hashem listening to the heart of Leah that felt hatred. You could imagine Yaakov Avinu hating somebody. Yaakov Avinu, the greatest people that ever stepped on this planet. You think he hated somebody? The Torah doesn't even report it that way. But it's important to know, when you love someone less than you're supposed to, it's already called hatred. Means you're married to someone, there's a certain level of love that needs to be in a marriage. Less than that, hatred. You can't say, well, you know, I still do a lot for the person. You know, I do more for her than I do for anyone else. It's such a powerful idea to keep in mind, not only for sure in marriage. This is a big, big heidush in marriage. Because a husband will look at his wife or vice versa and say, I do more for that person than anyone else on the planet, and I do more for them than I do for anyone else on the planet. They get more from me than from anyone else, and I do more for them than I do for anyone else. How could you say I don't love? But again, if it's below the expectation of that relationship, it's already called hatred. Tell the guy, listen, why do you hate your wife? I hate my wife. I just bought her a diamond ring. Why do you hate your wife? I just bought her a necklace. I hate my wife. It's not measured. It's not measured. Hatred is not measured with Nazi Germany. Hatred is measured. It's a very subtle difference. Below the standard of the relationship of love is already called hatred. That's how it is with marriage. It is with children. A father and mother have to show a certain ahava to their children, and vice versa, children for their parents. Parents and children are not the same as the regular people. You have to show them extra love on both ends. And if you show less ahava than the standard of a father to a child, you're called, you hate your child. That's why Shlomo HaMelech says, Hosech Shifto Soneh Beno. By the way, I say Pesukim just to get them excited. You see your son deviating from the right path. Not so bad, he's just deviating. And you want to tell him something, but you decide that you're not going to say anything. You hold back your stick. Not necessarily a stick of hitting, but a stick of direction. You say, Hosech Shifto, I'm not going to. Of course, if that's the right thing to do at the time, sometimes you do have to step back. That's just part of strategy. But sometimes you got to get involved. You say to your son, no, let him be, let him just do, let him learn on his own. I don't wanna risk the relationship. I'm not gonna say anything. Says Shlomo HaMelech, Soneh Beno. You hate your son. I hate my son. The reason why I don't tell him is because I don't wanna ruin the love that we have with each other. I hate my son? Yes. Because sometimes when love expects you to take a risk in going a little bit out of the comfort zone and saying something to someone to direct them, and you don't do that, then you don't love him enough. Now, if it doesn't say that by other people, it doesn't say if you see a guy in the street and you don't tell him that he's doing wrong, that you hate him. It could be, is a mitzvah in the Torah to tell him something. But the word hatred is reserved for a father and son when he doesn't guide him the right way. If he's doing something and you don't tell him, you're already called hatred, even though you're doing it out of love. It's amazing. So again, one more time. Hatred should not be viewed as a terrible, terrible hatred. Anything less than the relationship expects is already called hatred. So the Rambam says, if you have someone that you feel this hatred for, you must tell him and don't be like the Reshaim. Ela mitzvah alav lehodi'o, says the Rambam. It's a mitzvah to go and inform him. Velomar lo, and say to him, lama asita likach bekach, why did you do this to me? Or say it in your own words. You don't have to follow the script. He's giving you an example. Why did you hurt me in this instance? That's what the pasuk means. Don't hate him in your heart. Rather, go tell him. Don't hold it in. Go share with him. Unbelievable. Obviously, there are two wrong reactions that a person can have when somebody hurts them or wrongs them. One wrong reaction is the one we probably know a lot about. When someone hurts us, we like to express our strength in anger, even though anger is a complete failure and weakness of a person. But somehow the Yetzer Hara sells us that anger is a sign of strength. And we show our strength by lashing out, by yelling very loud, and by talking very, very strong. It's something we all deal with. And we all have, when we're born, anger. The Yetzer Hara sells us anger as a positive way of establishing your strength in your home, in your relationships. Obviously, this is a foolish thing to do. People who react with anger are just reacting out of instinct. They're not a gibor whatsoever. They're hurting themselves. Again, they're not bad people, but they're mistaken. And they're not acting in a way that's good for them or for others. That I think we all know. But today we're learning that there is an opposite behavior that really a person might feel very good about. When someone wrongs me, so I'm not going to get angry. I'm just not going to talk to them. That's it. I'm peaceful. You know, I'm an ish shalom. I'm a peaceful person. I don't like to get into arguments. I don't. It's fine. It's fine. I'm over it. When they say I'm over it like that, they're not over it. If people are really over it, they don't have to say I'm over. If you're really over it, so it's gone. We need to save her. I'll get over it. It's fine. It says, good. Now that can come from multiple avenues. It can come from a person feeling very, very good about who he is. That I'm a person of control. I don't speak up. It can usually comes from arrogance, comes from a very, very strong ego that says, "Hi, should go tell him something." You think he's like of any value to me? You think he can affect me? He's I'm way above that. For me to go tell him he wronged me, so basically I'm admitting that he has the key to me and he can hurt me, which makes me not as hashub. I will never give him that satisfaction. I will never tell a guy, by the way, I want you to know, yesterday you really hurt me. A person with an ego cannot say that. Because an ego says, you're above everybody. How could a little ant hurt you? You're like an ant to me. You're nobody. You don't exist. So it can come from opposite places. It can either come from a guy saying, I'm a powerful man. Good midot I have. I don't talk. I don't get into scuffles with people. Or it could come from the opposite. From complete arrogance. Or it could be the combination. It could be an arrogant person trying to feel great about himself. The Torah is warning us that such a reaction is an act of failure and rishut. Halakha says that a person who doesn't speak to someone for 3 days because of this bad feeling, you have a guy, he did something wrong to you, 3 days you don't speak to him. You're already guilty of lo tisna et acha b'levecha. Why 3 days? So it could be that sometimes a person has to wait before they speak to the person. Doesn't mean the guy wrongs you, right away you go tell. Sometimes you have to wait till you calm down, till he calms down, till the situation calms down. But you have 3 days. You have 3 days to go over and tell him something. Otherwise, you're guilty of an Isur Deoraita. When I say you're guilty of an Isur Deoraita, means that besides you did a sin, which may be terrible in your eyes or may not be to some people, but let me explain to you what that means. That means you are now in a destructive zone. Not only in that relationship, but it has a way of becoming a virus for many other things. When you hold back from speaking to another person. I'll give you an example. Happened to me last week. Literally this, and I'm sure it happens to so many people. That's why I say in today's world, I think there is so much more of this happening. It's an amazing story that I have to repeat to myself. It happened to me. So I sent someone a message. Someone who I haven't seen for a few weeks. I sent them a message. I said, Shabbat Shalom, I miss you. Okay. Usually the guy answers me back. I don't get an answer. Okay, sure. Maybe he's busy. The next day, after Shabbat, nothing, no answer. Now I'm spending the whole day trying to figure out why this guy, who I feel close to, ignored me. So now I'm thinking, oh, what happened? What did I do to him? Or maybe he thinks. I had about 4 theories of why the guy is angry with me. I even called some of his friends to see, could he be angry? Is he? Okay. And literally, I'm like thinking about it all day. So I like the guy. Why is he answering me? Finally, I get the courage. And I called the guy. And it was a scary call. Because by that time, I already developed a few different reasons why the guy must be upset. I call him, huh? He says to me, "Where you been?"
What do you like?
So, turns out, the same time, he's been upset with me. Because he never got my messages. And he's been sending me messages. But my phone, I guess, I don't know, it's not working. So he shows me 4 or 5 messages.
Oh, didn't respond.
And no response. So he said, I spent the whole Shabbat and Sunday thinking, why the rabbi hates me. The true story. So what an unbelievable Musa. In the world, this didn't happen 50 years ago. Today, there's so many ways of communication and the expectations are so quick. And a guy doesn't answer you, automatically you start. I'll give you an example. How so many times in our lives we have situations where we don't even know for a fact that people wronged us. In that situation, of course you're supposed to speak up. It was silly of me. I made a mistake. I should have called the guy Saturday night. What am I scheduled? Why did I have to assume that something is wrong? But here we're learning something else. Even when there is something wrong, you go tell the person. Tell the person, I just want to tell you, what you said yesterday hurt me. I just want to tell you it hurt me. Maybe you didn't mean it. It hurt me. You could say that to anybody. A spouse, a father, a child. Again, you needed some humility to say it. Again, it's not so easy to go tell someone you hurt me. You're admitting that you're weak. But this is the solution, the only solution the Torah has. Because hatred and you keep quiet in your heart doesn't make you strong. It ends up with much worse consequences.
Thank you.
By Avshalom, you know what ended up? He killed Amnon. That's where he ended up. You think he didn't talk to him? Was he going to go? He killed him. The results of not being open about your feelings with someone is destruction. It's not so easy, but it's a great way to live life. Someone in your office is doing things to annoy you. Again, I will make a simple statement. If whatever the person did or said doesn't bother you, so just leave it. You don't have to tell them. But if it's bothering you, guy walks in every day and, he smells. And every time you see him and every time you're with him, you're developing more and more and more and more. It could be. There's a way to sit down with him. One time I had a guy that sat in shul and he was coughing, but in a very, not a very nice way. I don't think he realized. And the people around him all we all got annoyed from him. So he's an annoying person because of the way he sneezed. I'm sorry to say, but that's what it was. Believe it or not, this was going on for, this guy is some months, maybe years. And I remember learning this halakha. And it made me realize, one second, there's 20 guys around the guy who have a real hatred for the guy. They're really annoyed by him. So I mustered the courage to sit with him and talk to him about it. I try to be sensitive and I told him, I'll tell you, I don't know if you realize, I'm sure you don't realize, sometimes we don't realize, but there are certain things that annoy people around you, and maybe, you know what, it was very well received. I don't know if every person would receive it that way, but it was a good thing. He helped the guy. Sometimes we just condone a guy. Okay, he's the guy who doesn't have to sneeze. I mean, he doesn't realize. He doesn't realize what he's doing. This is what he's saying. Torah tells us, if you see someone, again, if you see someone that's causing people a lack of love, you must say something. You must speak up. That is the solution. And it's a great way for a father to role model to his children. But what better thing could you tell your children tonight? It was a guy that was disturbing me. I went over and I told him, and I spoke to him. Because the feelings that we harbor inside, the Torah is warning us, those feelings are going to be an atomic bomb one day. So many things that we do later will come from those feelings. They're not just feelings. They're very, very big causes of disaster in the future. I believe that many, 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 if not all relationships that had been severed or broken or very much infected have their source in this halakha, where people allow things to sit. Because ultimately, we're good people. People want to do the right thing, especially you married someone. You were both wanting to do the right thing. Well, why'd you get married for? When you have relationships with friends, you're good people. But this virus, it eats and eats and eats and eats and becomes this big bomb that becomes out of control. Torah says, warning, go talk to him. That's how some explain the story of Yehuda. Yehuda was feeling a lot of animosity towards this man. I mean, he treated them well. He did a lot of good for them. But he was feeling animosity because ultimately all the problems that happened was because of him. Why do you have to ask them? You have a father, you have a brother. Why does he want their brother there? What? He felt this hatred in his heart for that person. So what did he do? He came to fulfill the mitzvah. He came to tell him, yes, there was nothing new in the conversation. He was telling him what he felt. He got up and he said to him, and look how beautiful, because really this was the moment that Yosef revealed himself to his brothers. Yosef's been playing them for a long time, waiting for the moment that was right, waiting for the tikkun. Do you know how the story all started? You wouldn't believe it. Maybe one of the greatest disasters in the history of our people. Pasuk says, Vayir'u Ehav, and their brothers saw, Ki oto Ahav Avihem Mikol Ehav. They saw that their father loved Yosef more than everybody else. Listen to the reaction. Listen good. Vayisne'u oto. And they started to have these bad feelings. Ve'lo yachelu dabero leshalom. And they couldn't speak to him. It's okay when you have bad feelings. That's not the issue. But what's the reaction? They have bad feelings. So what do you do? Lo yachelu. And they couldn't speak to him. The hatred part, they felt. But they messed up by not opening up. They should have went to their father. They should have went to Yosef. Yosef, we're feeling like you're coming against us. You feel like you want to take over and be on top of us. We feel like, talk to him. Talk to your father. Dad, I feel like you favor my brother. I don't know, maybe it's wrong, Mary. That's what I feel. They didn't talk to him. Yosef was waiting for the tikkun. What was the problem to be? Imagine the disaster of selling Yosef, the hatred of the brothers, all of that Where did it all start? It started with someone who didn't follow this halakha. This halakha is being put on a very high level of stage for all of us to realize, look what this could do to a family. Look what this could do to a nation. Yosef is waiting for the moment where he feels there's going to be a tikkun. Now the tikkun, you might say, what's the tikkun? How do you fix the problem? Maybe they're gonna apologize. They're gonna say, I'm sorry. No, he's not looking for that kind of tikkun. He's looking for fixing the problem. When does he realize the problem is fixed? When Yehuda comes to share his negative feelings with Yosef. When he comes to open up about what he feels inside, this was the tikkun of the brothers when they couldn't speak beforehand when they felt those feelings. And this is the tikkun of life. This is not just another class. It's not just another halakha. The Torah is telling us in this story that it all began with that. And it was solved through that. And that means for all of our life issues, we can probably turn to this and fix a lot of things. How many things between friends and family that go on and not spoken about and become bigger and bigger and bigger to the point where they become impossible to figure out? This is the commandment and advice of the Torah. Speak up and solve the issue before it gets bigger. Shabbat Shalom.